Oh, yeah, well, better time than now. Got my good friend from across the way, New Zealand bound, is Vinny Eastwood's joining us.
Yeah.
Say hi, Vinny.
I'm New Zealand bound, but that doesn't mean I'm on my way there. It means I'm kind of handcuffed by this country and its scumbaggery and the people that rule and dominate it criminally. Not entirely dissimilar from every single American is now currently America bound.
Yeah, we're going to talk about your favorite topic of scumbaggery for sure. We're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton.
Well, I thought I was going to come on to...
Of course, we'll get around to talking. Yeah, we'll get around to, you know, what else is going on in the world. Ebola and ISIS and all that good stuff. Sure, we'll hit on some of those current events. So you with us there, Lisa?
I'm hanging in.
Oh, say hi to Vinny Eastwood, Lisa.
Hey, Vinny. How are you, hon?
I sound a lot better than you. Are you all right, Lisa?
Oh, I'm not myself right now. I'm all right. You know, I had my surgery on the 20th, so I'm actually laying in bed doing the show. But I told Austin, I said that, you know, I'm sitting here in my bed all day, and it's driving me batty. So I need something to do. So I'd rather be on the show than, you know, just sitting here trying to go to sleep.
All right, maybe try knitting some form of knitting of a sweater with an Ebola cross stitch or something. I don't know.
What?
I don't think Lisa's. He was talking about you knitting a sweater with Obama across the front of it.
Oh, no. God, yeah, you have the wrong girl.
Well, technically, I said Ebola cross stitch, but all right. I guess one with Obama's just as bad.
Ebola.
Ebola, Obama, what's the difference?
Well, one's a horrific infectious disease that will liquefy your insides and turn them into pulsy blood, and the other one is Ebola.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was getting a kick out of Hillary. I mean, did you guys hear what she actually said?
She said something along the lines of, if you don't believe everything you hear, like the government, corporations and business do not create jobs, but she doesn't suggest what actually does create jobs if corporations and business don't. Now, how many people are employed by corporations or businesses? I'd wager there's at least a couple, you know, just to say that they don't create any jobs whatsoever is... borderline retarded, and I would probably say that there's some description of complete communist insanity there that says, oh, only the government can create jobs. Only we can employ you and give you your free government vehicle.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Austin earlier. I was like, what is she talking about? You know, is that what she's talking about? The government creates jobs?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, this is from her mouth right here.
Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, it's corporations and businesses that create jobs. You know, that old theory about economics. That has been tried. That has failed. It has failed rather spectacularly.
This is a bad recording.
Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, it's corporations and businesses that create jobs. You know, that old theory, trickle-down economics. That has been tried. That has failed. It has failed rather... spectacularly.
Yeah, well, actually, now that I've seen that there's a context to it, yeah, she's actually right. The trickle-down economics haven't worked. But they have worked for some, and by that I mean the ruthless criminal psychopaths who have more money than God. It worked out wonderfully for them, but everybody else, no.
Of course.
But well, the whole business is...
And it wasn't taken out of context. She is actually claiming, this is her quote, "Don't let anybody tell you that it's corporations and businesses that create jobs."
Well,
they do.
She went on to say that the trickle down effect hasn't worked, and that actually kind of proves the point. But she's again, if you do take it out of context, you're absolutely right, Austin. Good on you, bro.
Right. Well, it's really not taken out of context. I mean,
she just slid
in the old socialist communist rhetoric that businesses and corporations don't create jobs, that it's the government, is basically what she's trying to say.
Oh, yeah, well, let's think about this another way. How many ways is it possible for people to create their own businesses, to create their own jobs, to make their own money and not be an employee or some form of slave scum? And there's quite a few ways you can do that, but the problem is it actually requires work, self-sacrifice, original ideas, and a supportive family or whatever in order to get you through those hard times when you're first starting it up. Other than that, I was told by one of my listeners the other day when I was asking for a bit of donations to get us through some hard times that I should go get a job. Now, I think that people don't realize that doing talk radio and editing videos and being basically the only alternative media source that does video and radio in the entire country of New Zealand that is 4+ million people and I'm the only one is an actual full-time job. And so if somebody tells me to go get a job, it actually really incenses me. Namely because I'm employer-phobic. The last time I was going to go and get a job was because my best friend offered me one, and I couldn't even do that. I had a panic attack the night before, even thinking about putting on a monkey suit and going door knocking and selling people insulation. It's just not going to happen, bro. We've all got our priorities, Some people want to, make fast food and sell widgets to people or something like that. Me, I kind of prioritize preventing human enslavement and extermination as kind of my job, I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit out of touch with reality because I don't want to die or be a slave or something like that, and I avoid jobs where I become that. Maybe I'm just a bad person. Maybe I'm just lazy doing 12, 14-hour days editing things together and trying to prevent, humanity's global damnation. I'm sorry. I'm ranting.
Well, I know YouTube deleted your channel there, and I know you spent like 2 months downloading shows. I mean, you do a lot of work, Vinny. I'm not going to begrudge you that.
Well, it's actually, I've been uploading for 2 straight months, and I'm through, I've just passed the halfway point of my hard drives. So I uploaded, it took about a month and a half to upload my first 5 hard drives, and I was like, surely I've got more than this, external hard drives like floating around somewhere. So I dug into the wardrobe and found another 6. So I'm uploading those now. it's thousands of videos, and not just, truth of videos either. I've also done a lot of business, a lot of things for dance parties and events and things like that for people who've actually given me a bit of coin to go out and do it. But the problem is really that I've lost 7 years-ish. Of YouTube presence, and so that means if anybody anywhere at any time linked one of my videos on a blog page or something of that nature, anywhere on the web, all of those links from my old YouTube channel, which had 3.5 million hits, 16,000 subscribers, and nearly 3,000 videos, are now dead. So there's a huge portion of the web. Well, I wouldn't say a huge portion. There's a fraction of a portion of the web of people that have shared my videos and shows over the years that are now basically lead to nothing but dead links. And I go and I have a look at my video counters and things like that on my new channel, and instead of 20,000, 30,000 hits, there's now one or zero. And it's pretty freaking depressing.
Yeah. I know it's depressing. I mean, it's you put a lot of work in. I hate to even call it the truth movement. We'll say you put a lot of work in the awakening movement. We'll leave it at that.
Well, it depends.
The truth movement, you know, they put such negative connotations on that. I mean, only for after 9/11 could you be called a truther, like telling the truth or trying to get the truth out as a derogatory thing.
Just like people call you a conspiracy theorist in the negative, you know, I actually think conspiracy theorist is a positive, because there's a spectrum, right? And most people are somewhere in the middle, but far to one side of the spectrum is the coincidence theorist, who believes everything happens by sheer coincidence. There's no such thing as lies, deception, backroom deals, or monetary gain, or morality tales, or anything like that. No, it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as the boy who cried wolf. There's no such thing as a fairy tale. There's no such thing as anything ever at all whatsoever. There's no such thing as human creativity. That's a coincidence theorist. And these are the people who read you your news. These are the people who pontificate on liberal talk radio stations and things of that nature. For them, the government always has altruistic reasons and there's for doing everything that they do, and there's no possibility that anybody has darker intentions than that. On the other side of the spectrum, on the other hand, there are the conspiracy theorists who believe, absolutely believe, and nobody can convince them otherwise, that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power to maintain or grow that influence. What a bunch of nutcases, you know?
Yeah, what a bunch of whack jobs that would think, you know, that, you know, people like the Clintons and our fearless leader Obama and George Bush Senior, a couple of our presidents, you know, people, you know, involved with these secret societies and going to Bilderberg meetings or playing with Geronimo's skull and bones, you know, that these people would have any nefarious means. I mean, they're just looking out for our best interest. Nothing for them. I mean, they do all these things that they do are for us, to represent we the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why they allow lobbyists of massive corporations who pay off every single member of Congress and the Senate and the executive with huge quantities of money, and they allow them to write all the legislation and then pass it without reading it.
It's true.
Thank you.
I mean, you had Nancy Polskanky, Pelosi, well, we'll figure out what's in the bill as soon as we pass it.
Yeah, we have to pass the bill, because apparently before bills are active in legislation, their writing's like made out of this invisible ink, sort of like in The Lord of the Rings on some description of magical map that is only read under the moonlight of one particular time of the year, and that you just happen to actually be there in order for the letters to be visible and the legislation in order to be able to read that stuff. Mm? Is that about right? That sounds like a lot of Pelosi to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Seems legit.
It's totally legit, bro. I mean, like, there's nothing going on here. There's just nothing. Yeah. And I think the when my YouTube channel got deleted, it was 6 days after I uploaded John Key's Past Exposed in 6 minutes. And John Key's the current Prime Minister of New Zealand, and he used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank as the head of the European Bond and Derivative Trade, or rather on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York for 2 years. And it was the Foreign Exchange Committee that he was on. Specializing in European bond and derivatives, sorry. But on top of that, I mean, any American who's part of the alleged truth movement, in fact, that's a better name for it, the alleged truth movement, because we allege a lot of things, and some of them happen to be true. Here we go. I'm part of the alleged truth movement. But anyway, you sort of understand that.
Let's question what's going on movement.
The question movement, you know? We can all dress up as the Riddler.
Yeah, the question and, movement.
Yeah, we can all dress up as the Riddler and leave little clues like passports that are inflammable, for example, you know?
Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
There's a giant fireball!
Lisa?
Indestructible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, why don't they cover the black boxes with passports? Because for some odd reason, the passports seem to survive more than the black boxes do.
Well, you can't talk about the black boxes now that Obama's president. That's racist.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, if you mention black in any context, it's racist. You're just a bad, bad person.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, you got to control that stuff. I mean, you know, talking about black boxes is akin to hanging somebody from a tree and burning a cross on a front yard with 40% petrol and 60% diesel in it, you know. That's just it. Oh, my God. But anyway, I'm still kind of reeling over my YouTube channel getting taken down, man. It really, really pisses me off. I've done so much freaking work. Like, I once did 3 documentaries in 3 nights. All right, I get up in the morning, edit, get down to like 6 o'clock in the morning, and then go to sleep, and then get up whenever I do, and then just edit until like about 7 or 8 a.m., and then I go to sleep, and then get up in the morning and get edit until about 1 p.m. the next day, and then go back to sleep. You know, I've that was only on 3 days because I had to for the fluoride movement and my friend Russell Malcolm who had his bail conditions dictated over the phone by Prime Minister John Key in the middle of the night, saying that he can't contact any members of Parliament or use the internet in the height of election season, and arrested him on no charges whatsoever. You know, because he was exposing corrupt. Because he was exposing corruption, and it's just you do what you can, and it's the thing that really really angers me more than my YouTube channel getting deleted is that I can't dispute it, right? Like I sent an email to them saying I want to dispute this, and they bounce it back saying this email's been banned. So sign into your YouTube account, which you can't sign into because it's banned, with your email that you can't use because it's banned, and then email us with that email that's banned from your YouTube channel that's banned if you want to get unrestricted. you couldn't be freaking kidding me. It's like Catch-22, man. And that's the part that really frustrates me more than anything else, is it's not just the fact that they deleted it for no reason without warning. It's more the fact that there's no recourse whatsoever at all, full stop, comma, rule off. That's the end of the story. That's the end of the dice. 7 years, the most subscribed YouTube channel in New Zealand that delivers news ever. And more protests and public meetings on there, freely, publicly available, than any other New Zealand news source in history. In fact, all of them in history, combined, by my frickin' self, all gone!
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Once they delete this shit, it's gone. They can't, you know, it's not coming back. I mean, it's, I mean, thank God you downloaded, you know, most of your stuff. But
oh, no, I couldn't even do that. That. You can't sign into your channel to download anything. So it's just, I have about 11 big, fat, external hard drives sitting next to me on the computer, and I got two computers on the desk. One of them I'm using to do the radio shows and things now, and the other one is just basically a slave computer, and it just sits there all the time, constantly uploading, has been doing it for months. And it's just, you know, I had the presence of mind to make sure that everything I'd ever done throughout my career was recorded and put onto hard drives. So it comes back.
Well,
but
that's what I'm saying. You got it to the hard drive. You got it on the hard drive. At least you have it. I mean, thank God for that.
Yeah, but also it just basically deleted my web presence as well, because the vast majority of the ways that people would see me or hear about me is through those YouTube videos, me interviewing big guests and things like that. And now, and so all the YouTube video names, all of the descriptions, all of the tags, all of the previous hits, all of the comments, all of my replies, every link that it was ever put on in any other place on the web just disappeared in an instant. It's gone. You know, like Kaiser Sose.
And I understand that. I mean that's how I met you, Vinny, was through your YouTube channel, through interviews. I saw you on YouTube.
So you can just imagine.
Powerful tool.
Yeah, and you can just imagine now how many people are not hearing about me now, or are not donating to support my cause now because of this deletion. So they've not only destroyed my a huge chunk of my career, but they've also kind of deleted my past, right? Like, I have a reputation for doing this, that, and the other, and now that's all gone as well. And now what am I going to show people? My YouTube channel with, like, 1,500 subscribers that's been going for, like, 5-6 years that I used to really only upload cannabis videos and dance party videos before I became a talk radio show host and started interviewing all the big guests and everything. That's not something that's impressive. That's not something you can show someone and go, wow, you got 1,500 subscribers. It going from 16,000 to that, it took a good 7 years to get up to that. And even though I can't message everybody, you know, I'll try, but when I sent round a message, like spread it far and wide via email, via Facebook and Twitter, resubscribed to my new YouTube channel, I only got 300 out of those 16,000 subscribers back. 300 out of 16,000. Because that's
right.
How few people.
Yeah, let's on a positive note, I want to give you a minute to tell everybody where you're at now. You're with Revolution Radio now, right?
Allegedly, and it's on right after the show, actually, tonight. So it's on freedomslips.com, Studio B, Wednesday nights from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to have some fun there. I'm going to help Revolution Radio do a lot more different recordings, intros and outros and things like that, and really help spice up the network, because that's what I did for American Freedom Radio when I was on there. They had these old ads for water filters and goodness knows what else that were just like years and years old, and I actually felt sorry for the board ops having to sit there and listen to the same thing over and over again all day, every day. I couldn't actually handle that. I mean, I had all the things muted during the breaks, and so it was quite rare that I'd actually hear the ads, and when I did, they pissed me off so much that I had to rewrite them and redo them and re-record them and get other people there and get new music for them and just send it off to the network. And they're like, oh, thanks, Vinny, you want some money for that? It was like, no, I just want less insanity, and that's what I'm giving you. Go for your life, son. So
Well, I mean, you're always welcome to hang out with us here at Truth Emerges on Network, Vinny. You're a good friend. I mean, we don't always see eye to eye. I'll be the first to admit that. But I appreciate what you stand for and what you're doing out there. Somebody's got to do it in New Zealand.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised when you're 6'4", how few people can see you eye to eye.
Well, I'm 6'2", so I could probably see eye to eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Close enough.
Hey, we got a good friend of the network, Brian Richards. Are you there, Brian?
Yeah, I'm here. Just listening in to you guys. Second floor. Hey, Vinny, I'm sorry about your YouTube channel. That sucks. You know, the sad part about it is Google can do that. And I've been saying this for a while. YouTube and Google and all these companies, they can do that anytime they want. They own all that stuff, really. When it comes down to it, it sucks. But, you know, I resubscribed to your new channel, so I'm one of those 300. But, you know, I appreciate what you do. And, you know, when you start getting haters, you've reached a certain level when you start getting haters. But when you get to the levels like you, where you're actually got high up public officials hating on you, like John Key, you've reached a certain level, and your name recognition is off the chart. So you're going to get it back. You'll be back on your feet and doing what you do, obviously.
So my name recognition is kind of like my YouTube channel. They're both off the charts now.
Well, I think over time. I mean, obviously, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I think you're going to get back to where you were, at least close to where you were before, and start building and getting new people involved as well. So I think you'll be fine. In my opinion, it's just my opinion.
Yeah, and then that channel will get deleted. You know, it'll be like a decade refresh. You know, like when I'm old or something like that. I'll be like, no, I've got like 40,000 videos I've got to re-upload. I can't wait to get old, man. It would be awesome.
We should create our own YouTube. Why don't we have an activist YouTube that is controlled and owned by activists on a separate, you know, server that can't be touched?
Well, thing is, everybody does that, thinks about that, tries that. But look at the size of YouTube. You know, look at the size of Google, and where is the audience of the web going to go? Are they going to go to some tiny little thing in the middle of nowhere, sort of like some kind of outpost island on the internet that's crammed with truthers and trolls and crazy people who believe in all sorts of weird stuff? Or are they going to go to the places where all the stuff is, you know, like all the music videos and movies and all sorts of that other stuff? Of course they're going to go there. I mean, that's where the audience is. I mean, when you go to a protest or something like that, do you take as few people to the protest as possible and hold the protest in the middle of nowhere where there isn't actually anybody around to see or hear the protest? Or do you get as many people as you can in a public space where you're surrounded by members of the public so that as many people can see you as possible? You know, that's basically the analogy I've been looking at. So when people tell me to do Vimeo or this or that other thing, Daily Motion, la 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 la, it's just like, dude, it's like 1/16th the size at best. It's like a waste of time. Sorry to be nasty about it, but
it is. I can see where you're coming from. I mean, we're trying to get out to the people, but Lisa's right. I mean, they can shut you down in the blink of an eye.
They can, and they have. And I think that I don't know what the solution to this is, like if there even is one as yet. It's kind of like in marketing, there's an old saying, the people don't know what they want until you show it to them. And when somebody does... When somebody does come out with a better alternative to Facebook or a better alternative to YouTube that isn't so draconian and scumbaggery-like, then I'll be shifting to that. But, you know, I mean, how many people are still doing MySpace or Bebo or any of these other things that have become so freaking obsolete by Facebook and YouTube that it's just not funny? Hardly anybody, you know? And that's kind of how it is. We're living in this mass consciousness sort of eclectic world now where social media is more or less controlled by a couple of massive platforms and everything else is not only secondary, but I relate it to small countries, what they call primate cities, where you have, let's say, four big centres, but the second biggest centre is less than a quarter of the size of city number one, All right, so that's where everything is, and everything below that is significantly smaller, significantly less influential, and significantly more of a waste of time, considering you actually have to spend the same amount of time pushing the same amount of stuff on it and getting 1/16th of the result for your efforts.
I got you there. Hey, 501 and 817, you guys are both hot, or girls. I don't want to sound sexist here. But you guys are hot, so you're welcome to the round table.
Appreciate it. Hey, that sounds like Fort Worth. This is Vince in Arkansas. The other Vinny. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Vinny, it's good to have you on, buddy.
Right on. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, what I was really going to say, I think Vinny's really hit on a lot. I mean, it's Facebook and YouTube that got, you know, they have the lion's share. But I think if just duplicity, you know, keep adding all the sites that you can. There's so many of them out there. And make sure that people realize, you know, hey, try to encourage them to also sub their, you know, Vimeo or whatever, any other of the video servers. And, man, I'd like to see everybody migrate out of Facebook, man. But, you know, I've tried and tried with, you know, World Truth, and there's some other one that's PSU. I forget, SU, I think you pronounce it. There's so many other places. But now, I tell you, Vinny, on YouTube, like with Pigmind News, they've had like 6 channels taken back. And, you know, just, oh, my God, I can't imagine the work that you've lost because of them. That's tyrannical. So if you, like, have a second channel running same time, you know, and maybe delay your upload, so if something gets pegged, then you could know maybe you'd try to do something different about that.
The thing is,
at least if you get people. And I just went and subbed your new channel just now, too, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cheers, Barry. I wanted to say, because it's like, I don't upload things that have copyright violations like other people. Like, I specifically edit all my videos to get out the music and anything else along those lines. And the reason my channel was censored, and an article came out of globalresearch.ca, I think, that said that governments are now petitioning YouTube to ban protest videos. And what this says to me is that essentially YouTube's now has probably been for a long time a part of Big Brother. And the only reason why my channel got deleted, it wasn't copyright violations, it wasn't spamming, it wasn't violence, it wasn't abuse, it wasn't misuse, it wasn't anything of that nature. It was one reason alone, a 6-minute video that totally exposed John Key's work history and what he plans to do with New Zealand that was starting to go viral, and they deleted everything I'd ever done. Just because of that.
Now, it's pretty new, I mean, rather relatively recent in history that the corporatocracy has been like taking real hold in New Zealand, right? And coming in with the fracking and all that, and really trying to just rape New Zealand right now.
Well, you know, name me a country that's not currently being raped by the New World Order. If you know the ways in which the New World Order is currently destroying and raping the United States and the UK and any other country in the freaking world, you know exactly the same thing's happening here. It's just we've got a sexier accent while we're getting raped.
I just want to give you a shout out, Austin. Lisa, y'all, of course, you know, y'all rock, and Vinny, really good talking to you. And don't get discouraged, man. Stay with it. You guys are all, you know, all of us are together, you know, we make a loud voice. And, hey, you need to come over and do a guest appearance over with Chuck Ocelli on the Ocelli Effect on UCY, and he's also here with the Coalition. Oh, and one more thing I forgot. Listen, I was hoping you'd have chat, but, you know, you guys should set up, like, a chat for the Coalition with a Chitango or something, where it'd be a permanent address where people could kind of congregate like we do at UCY. We have a chat over there. But anyways, great network you guys got going, man. I really appreciate all the work you did.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. Thank you, Vince.
I like the chat idea, too. I think that's something, you know, Austin and I are actually, you know, co-owners of Truth Emerges, and we were talking about that today, that we really need to work on getting our website up and going and a chat and that. So good suggestion. We're on the same page.
Right on. Love and peace, y'all.
Cheers, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, one of the things as a talk radio show host, when I was on American Freedom Radio, we never had a chat, and the network owner refused to put one on because, A1, you have to police them. You've got to block people, you've got to delete comments, you've got to have this, that, and the other. So you've got to have like a full-time staff member there all the time to make sure things don't go out of control and stop people from listening to the radio show host. And secondly, it's a massive distraction for the radio show host. I've listened to countless broadcasts where the host just kind of like goes, and like is typing or is trying to read somebody's comment or blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? And that just seems basically right. It's not good talk radio if that's what's going on. And if there is a chat, in my opinion, just from my experience, it should be basically exclusively for the listeners, and there needs to be somebody independently sitting there, because most of the chats are completely off topic. The people that are chatting in there don't even appear to be listening to the radio shows. They're not asking questions or anything. They're just kind of like talking to each other. More or less, and that you could right. have a chat well, room like that any old frickin' where.
Right. Well, and that is part of what happened with Freedomizer Radio. I mean, you'd have people in chat, and they were just jibber jabbing with themselves, and you know, not listening to the show. And Lisa, I actually believe we do have a chat room with Blog Talk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've never been good at chatting it up with the people. I mean, I'm with you, Vinny. It's hard to talk to a guest and stay focused and you know, discuss things on the network and then, you know, try to be typing and chatting it up at the same time. I'm not the greatest at multitasking like that. You can ask Lisa.
The other element is crowd participation, like you got people calling in. You know, no offense to the listeners or anything, but if I'm tuning in to talk radio, I want real good, guaranteed quality hosts, quality guests, and I just want the awesomeness to be just pumping out at a relentless rate. And when you add callers into a show, it's actually quite rare that the callers will call in and have them actually be better at talking than the host or the guest. And that's why on my shows for years I just haven't been taking callers, because it's, unless you can screen them beforehand and know how they talk and communicate ideas properly, it just basically slows the whole show up. And so anybody who's listening will just kind of be tuning in and hear this kind of rambling nonsense from somebody who's not a professional at this kind of field, and get bored and then switch off, and then you, the host, lose a listener because you wanted to give the listeners participation. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of really weird like that.
I understand where you're coming from, but I still like the people to call in, and I'm going to roll the dice as we speak. I got an unlisted caller. These are always fun. Maybe it's a troll, maybe it's not, but unlisted caller with all the ones, you're not.
Hi. I'd just like to direct a question towards Vinny and just see if he could shed some light on why American Freedom Radio Network seems to go defunct so abruptly, and kind of this controversy surrounding the new network. I guess you're with Revolution Radio right now, aren't you, Vinny?
Yeah.
So what's going on with, you know, Mike Ringley and Steve Kelly have come out and admitted that they're the owners of these very graphic, pornographic websites. How do you feel about that, Vinny? I mean, I don't really feel like you belong there, to be real honest with you.
I don't know who.
Oh, I know who this is.
Well, it's just the truth, gentlemen, you know?
And no, so no, I mean, I didn't...
You have a rare network... Well, when you have a network like Revolution Radio come out, and, you know, the owner admits, and Steve Kelly admits that, you know, his claim to fame is fartdom.com. I don't even want to quote the phrase for it. It's absolutely obscene and abhorrent. And I'm wondering if you feel like you got set up to get back into that type of network after basically something happened with American Freedom Radio Network. I mean, I think the public is unclear.
Can I explain?
Yes, please.
American Freedom Radio, their network owner went to had it was in a car accident, and then later on, after he recovered from his car accident, he then got arrested, allegedly on some kind of drug charge set up. The details are sketchy on that. Even the hosts, including myself, have not been told what happened or what's happening. They've been communication has been lax to the max, and that's actually how the Romero family ran the network in general, is because their family don't like the limelight. They don't like he's a great talker, Danny, the owner of American Freedom Radio, but he never comes on any radio shows. He never says bad stuff about truthers behind their backs. He never publishes things or his opinions online about other people. He stays away from the infighting. If people start doing it on the network, he kicks them off, and so on and so forth. The guy is just a golden man in general. Like, I've not actually researched into anybody deeply and not found any skeletons in their closet. Maybe two people I've researched deeply and couldn't find anything that they've done wrong to anybody at any time,
well,
anywhere.
I'm not here to condemn anybody, Vinny. But I go, well, hold on, let me... anybody or insinuate that.
No. This is not what I'm saying.
Like, you were cornered into, do you feel like you were cornered into being on Revolution Radio Network?
No, not at all. I mean, I'll finish actually telling you how it happened, because it was... Danny Romero was off basically for a good 9 months before the network collapsed. So we were trying to liaise with the board ops. They were getting a lot of pressure on. We had this dude come in to try and do the archives, and he ballsed it up to absolutely ad infinitum. And we tried to keep it running, but when they brought in some new board ops to replace the old ones, and these were people from reputable networks who had a reasonable amount of experience and they were doing a really good job, but the problem is they couldn't do the programming, they couldn't do the website, and the live stream wasn't working anymore, as well as no archives whatsoever. And that's when I decided to leave. When there was both no archives and no live stream, I said to myself, I may as well record independently. And that was about a year ago, and I think about a week or two after American Freedom Radio collapsed and I left it, I was given a phone call by Nighthawk and a couple of other people from Revolution Radio trying to beg me basically to come on Revolution Radio, and I said no, I'm not going to. And I wanted to leave a grace period because I have such profound respect for the people at American Freedom Radio and Danny Romero in particular, that I didn't want to just jump ship and go to another network right away. I felt that would be disrespectful and unprofessional. That's just my opinion. Other people jumped ship like instantaneously, just like that. Whereas I'd always wanted a 3-hour broadcast. And so in January, later on that year, earlier on in the next year after that, I started recording my own show with 3-hour segments. And I used to do video and audio for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I did that for 3 to 4 years on American Freedom Radio without much problem. But that was when I had a producer. That was when I had a network. That was when I had a live stream to record. When all of that becomes your responsibility as it became mine, I found that I basically burned myself out. It was just too much work, way too much work. And I had people coming in and volunteering. And the problem is, when people come in and volunteer, they're not going to stay when they realize how much work it actually takes. Okay, me, I'm in to win. I mean, I'm gonna die before I give up fighting the New World Order. And if somebody comes into my office and starts editing my videos, they best have the same amount of commitment. Otherwise, they're just gonna sit there doing 1/10 of the amount of work that they need to be able to do in order. And basically, because I accepted people's help, I wound up even further behind than if I'd just actually taken responsibility and just did it myself. And so I actually had a good 2-month blowout where I was just like, what really triggered it was this woman coming in to my house who had like married into the families of top pedophiles in New Zealand, who actually have the ability to write the child abuse legislation. They've got like Queen's Cross medals and they're highly respected by the courts and everything. And she was telling me the story. It was like she was around here for 6 hours to do a 3-hour show. But so we had like breaks and stuff, and she wouldn't shut up like for 6 straight hours hearing about child abuse, grooming games, pedophilia. It actually destroyed me as a man, okay? Just having that kind of emotional vampirism suck the life out of me, that I couldn't work, I couldn't record a show, I couldn't edit a video, I couldn't do anything for like a full 2 months. It was that much of an impact on me. And then when I came back to it, I started recording shows, and it's really, really hard when you're the only person there, when there isn't somebody saying, hey, you've got a show coming on in an hour, boom, you know, they're calling you in. When it's a routine, it's very easy, but when you have to create the routine,
I
when you're the...
I appreciate everything you're saying, Vinny. I'm curious, you know, all the stuff I hear you saying about it's burning you out as a man and the vampires and all this, I certainly understand this, and personally, I feel like you've been through quite a bit of that yourself in your position. Obviously, it kind of comes with the territory when you're basically, you know, to quote, fighting the New World Order, and quote, it kind of just comes with it. The bottom line that I would like to just basically get out there for the public is, if you're so vocal about these issues that you were just kind of going over for us in your testimony, why associate yourself with a known, with a network like Revolution Radio, who has obviously admitted to being a part of some of these same types of activities?
Well, I see, I haven't seen that admission. I didn't know until you said it. And of course, we're on radio, so you can't show me any evidence right now. And I'd like to actually look into
well,
it
I've
further.
Well, I've got it all up over your groups. And we've done a real, you know, the bottom line is the recordings remain of Mike Ringley and Steve Kelly coming out and admitting this stuff for you guys. And so I have that information available. I've tried to make it. But really, the point that I want to drive home, Vinny, is what would you say about the division in the community and the truth of movement, and what forces are at play to keep people compartmentalized away from each other, comparing each other's research and so on, and how prevalent has that been in your experience as a talk show host?
Well, as far as I know, there's 77 hosts on Revolution Radio. And a number of them I don't like, don't agree with their ideas. I don't like them as people, and that kind of thing. However, they've been trying to get me for over a year, and there's a number of networks that I could go with, and they all have the exact same baggage. You know, there's somebody at the head of them who I don't like, or there's other hosts on the network who I don't like. And basically, they wanted me for 5 days a week, and I only took one night a week. And the rest of them I'm going to be recording more or less independently. And just like every other network in the entirety of the world, not one show host and not one network owner speaks for every show host and every other network owner in any way, shape, or
Thank
form.
You.
You know,
that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Because that's the only way you can...
It's just like Lisa and I. I mean, we're the majority owners of here at Truth Emerges Network. We have 7 shows. I mean, I don't always agree with Lee Pierce. He's on 2 shows. I don't always agree with Dennis Ford. He's on with Lee Pierce. I don't always agree with Sonny Thomas. I don't always agree with Earl Conlin, the Dashboard Outlaw. But I mean, if you're going to be a totally totalitarian and rein everybody in, what kind of network are you going to have?
Now, freedom of speech. If you believe in freedom of speech,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that there's too many. I would just say to just be real clear that there's too much division in the media, and people have been attacked out here when they are trying to do the right thing. And there's obviously forces at play here and factions within
these radio
networks that have a sinister agenda here.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't talk about other radio show hosts and mention them by name anymore. That's why I don't do shows that attack people specifically anymore. That's why my show is specifically about either getting on a guest and helping them tell their story and having some fun with them, or just me ranting about all sorts of crap and having fun, you know, and that's ultimately...
Have you had any bad experiences, Vinny? I mean, has any of that stuff come back to bite you as far as going out and attacking somebody in the media and then it maybe kind of come a full circle for you?
Only with Pete Santilli, and that was
you're not the only one who's been affected by Pete Sanchilli's I like using your word scumbaggery. He is an FBI informant. He is with them. My friends at Anonymous exposed it all. I mean, he's bad news. I mean, and I'm not going to go out there bad talking their people in what you claim is the alternative media or the truth movement or.
Could I say something, Austin?
Whatever moniker you want to put on it. But there's some bad people out there.
Well, sure. can I say something specifically? I won't attack anybody by name unless they really are, and I'm not talking about I think, I feel, or I know. I'm talking about somebody who really is a bad person who hurts people.
Oh, well, let's talk about Eugene Irvin because you're talking to him and you verbally attacked me and slandered me on your radio show.
Oh, my God.
And,
God.
Let's get it out here in the open. Because the bottom line is...
What did I say about you? Quote me. What did I say specifically about you?
I'd rather just set up the video and
was this by chance after you assaulted Eve Logan from Revolution Radio?
Oh, you mean the wife of a convicted pedophile.
No, the wife of a whistleblower who was put in solitary confinement for several years.
Maybe Bill Brock Rader was set up. If that's true, that's unfortunate. You know, here's the real deal, okay? I can prove that Eva Moore said that she was threatened into making those statements, okay? And I have personally met with the people that, you know, Nancy Hopkins, for example.
Okay, when you say you can prove it, go ahead and prove it then. I'm waiting.
Well, I'm letting you know, okay? I mean, you know.
Well, hold on a second. You said you could prove it, and now you're saying you're just letting me know. Letting me know what? Are you letting me know that Eve came to me in tears because she was threatened?
The video says, warning, what did I do to deserve? You making an entire video.
That depends. What did I do to deserve to get 100 emails from you with pictures of anal lubricant saying you're going to shaft me up the anus?
Well,
right.
I can tell you what
wait,
you
wait,
got.
Wait, hold on,
you got
hold
your Facebook
on,
page.
Just drop a man,
you got
scum.
Your YouTube smashed. You went and joined the network with a bunch of slanderous pedophiles. Okay, that's what you got.
Let me read out all the Eugene Sunny screenshots and screen gems that I've gotten.
Eugene, a.k.a. Sunny's gone. I just X'd him.
Well, thank you very much. How about start reading this stuff out so he can listen to it? Yeah.
Hey,
he's gone.
Vinny, sorry about that. I mean, you know, on one hand...
See, this guy's a stalker.
What's that?
The guy is a stalker. Okay, he's been convicted of assault a number of times in Round Rock, Texas.
I wanted to let him go too because he was mad at me for supporting you, helping you get back up, and he was messaging me and Vinny did this, Vinny did that. I said I stand by Vinny. I don't agree. Like I just said on the air, I don't agree. We don't see eye to eye all the time, but I stand by your body of work. I said. Vinny is a friend of mine, and I stand with him. And I do. I support you, Vinny. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing.
And,
you can't really go out and do that against people unless they actually assault, stalk, lie, and send threatening stuff to people, you know? Like, he said that he's going to eat me, you know, like a cannibal. He's commenting on every single one of my YouTube videos, every single one of my Facebook pages, every single one of my everything, telling everybody about how I'm a shill and blah, 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 blah. It's freaking unreal.
He unfriended me and he said that I'm going to get mine too, whatever that means.
Yeah. He basically just sits around threatening like,
I said, you know, pick a number and stand in line.
Yeah, he just sits around threatening, lying, and doing things to all bunch of people who I basically haven't done anything to him, you know. And the time that I made a video about him was after enduring months of harassment and stalking and all over the internet. And I only did it just to help Eve because she was like in tears when she rang me. This guy had just like assaulted her in her own house. She let him stay the night and things like that. It's just just terrible. And I can't stand for that kind of thing. I don't like guys who hit women or abuse them or anything like that. And I certainly don't like people who behave in that kind of way. Now, I'm getting a call from, incidentally, Revolution Radio right now. So if you'll allow me to just drop off for a second, I'll go see what they want.
Yeah. Take care of that, Vinny. And,
all right.
And for the listeners, we're going to go to commercial break while Vinny drops off.